Shalom liyudim, shalom lebnei noach, shalom legoyim. It's the evening of the fourth day, El Kaf Vav, the Adar Aleph, Parashas Vayakel, Tavshin Pev Dallas 5784, the evening of the third day, Tuesday, March 5, 2024. You're listening to Phantom Nation, a.k.a. the program coming to you from the worst nation in the world, according to the nations of the world. In 1945, there were 51 original founding nation-state members in the new United Nations organization. By 1975, 30 years later, 88 new nation-states had been added to the list, Israel being one of them. And in their majority, these nations voted that year, 1975, on the following language, quote, Zionism is a form of racism and racial discrimination, close quote. 72 nations voted for this idea, 35 nations voted against, and 32 nations refused to agree or disagree. They abstained and thus should be added to the 72 anti-Jews. They did not object to this language. So that's a total of 104 anti-Jew nation states out of 139. That's a lot. Now, most of these new states had had some kind of pre-independence movement of national liberation, Israel no less. And on November 10, 1975, the General Assembly, in its majority, judged Zionism to be unique among those 88 new ones for having, as its liberation movement, a form of racism. Zionism is racism, and never mind, the Jews are not a race. That lie came to life in the late 19th century when the very term anti-Semitism was brand new and invented. The age of Karl Marx's atheism and Charles Darwin's debunking of the truth of the Torah. This was the age of global colonization and the confrontation with third world subcivilized peoples. Anti-Semitism was in its day as dishonest a word as today's Islamophobia and transphobia and homophobia. Anti-Semitism was invented to take the place of Christianity's hatred of Jews as Christ killers. Lose your faith in Jesus as divine in the age of the Enlightenment, and unintentionally you lift the crime of deicide from the shoulders of the Jews. But you still hate them and literally are uncomfortable still in their physical presence. What you do is rebrand the Jews a race instead of a nation dispersed as punishment for killing God, as a simple Christian understands, which is why the Jews are homeless and nomadic, expelled from their promised land. You rebrand the Jews a race, which is a biological condition everyone is born with and can never change and has no choice as to be born to whatever race. No decision is made about your skin color by you or the culture of the parents you have when you are born. The OED, the Oxford English Dictionary, the Bible of the English language, published in 1932, defined Zionism as a movement in favor of statehood for, quote, the Jewish race. But we're not a race. And even Hitler knew that, precisely because, unlike him, Jewishness has nothing to do with race, with skin color, hair texture. Hitler called Jews a mongrel people, precisely because they had no fidelity to racial purity, versus his pure Aryans with their Aryan genes. Hitler was very big in not liking the assimilation of the Jews into Jew-German society, via insincere conversion and the taking of German names. He ordered them, once in power, to officially change their names by adding either Abraham or Sarah as a first name so that in all their official documentation, people could identify them as Jews. He then went on to force them eventually to wear the yellow star in public to identify them as Jews and enemies of the Aryan race. Versus the fate of the Jewish people today, identified as the worst races in the world. What a change. For Hitler, we did not care about race today. We are the kings and queens of racism, who like to oppress and humiliate the ancient Palestinians because they are not of the Jewish race. And what you get is akin to a global political cartoon in people's heads in which the Jews are seen to have stolen Palestine from its ancient indigenous Palestinian people and are committing genocide against them today. A good example of people who think this way. We heard the other day from none other than the vice president of the powerful United States of America, who has taken the side of the so-called innocent Palestinians in Gaza, who are experiencing, in her words, a humanitarian catastrophe. She demanded an immediate ceasefire given the, quote, immense scale of suffering in Gaza at the hands of the Israelis. In her mind, they are the aggressors, and the Palestinians suffer thanks to the behavior of these Israelis. She said, quote, people in Gaza are starving. The conditions are inhumane, and our common humanity compels us to act. Our hearts break for all the innocent people in Gaza who are suffering. The Israeli government must do more to significantly increase the flow of aid. No excuses. They must not impose any unnecessary restriction on the delivery of aid, period. They must ensure that humanitarian personnel sites and convoys are not to be targeted. Israel also needs to restore basic services in Gaza and promote order and more food and fuel to those who are in need, close quote. Kamala Harris hasn't a clue that this is pure, glatt kosher anti-Semitism. I don't think she understands this. I don't think she is an anti-Semite. I think she's just, I don't think she's serious about any thought, has any serious thoughts about anything. She's just a courtesan, let alone think about something negative about the Jews. She's not like that. But what she's doing is dehumanizing the Jews with her sympathy for the Satanist on display on October 7. Where is it written that the Muslims in Gaza never felt Hamas represented them? Hamas over the years has mounted anti-Semitic hate-fest rallies in Gaza attended by hundreds of thousands. Hamas has ignited riots along the border, the lofting of incendiary balloons that have done much damage to Israeli buildings and agriculture on the other side. Kamala Harris demands that Israel look after these people. Israel is responsible for these people, she preaches. And I say, this is anti-Semitism for dehumanizing the Jews. 1944-45, both the RAF under Arthur, nicknamed Bomber Harris, and Curtis LeMay at the head of the U.S. Army Air Corps, before they established the Air Force as a separate wing of the armed forces, and they bombed Germany relentlessly. And guaranteed for sure neither the Brits nor the Yanks spent a farthing or a cent on the welfare of the innocent civilians in Germany who were killed in these bombing raids. Israel might answer Kamala and Joe and Obama by saying Israel owes these enemies nothing. Nothing. Israel might say it will provide the same kind of humanitarian assistance the U.S. and England provided to the non-combatants in Germany during the bombing campaign. Same amount. This is an anti-Semitic idea because it asks of the only Jewish state in the world to behave as no people in our situation would behave. Yours truly has no problem with providing these masses of Muslims humanitarian aid, but I say let others do it. There are 56 officially Muslim states. If they want to provide assistance, Israel would not stop them. But to claim that we are responsible for their welfare, these people of their own free will voted for Hamas to run their lives, and as such, they are responsible for what their psychotic holy jihad warriors did on October 7th. As any German who ever attended a torchlit Nazi party rally was guilty as well. Kamala and all the anti-Jew millions like her cry, the people are starving in Gaza. And that could be, so their fellow Muslim believers should come to their rescue. English fishermen and merchant marine volunteer cross the channel to Dunkirk to rescue their countrymen and take them back to England. So Muslim states should organize and finance a flotilla of ships capable of taking on board all these Arab refugees and giving a new life to them in their many Muslim lands. Fat chance that's going to happen. In any case, Israel has zero responsibility for them. Zero. And Israel should not play along in any way in helping them. This is anti-Semitic for being anti-human. What other people is slandered for not caring for the enemy trying to kill them and destroy their nation? It's inhuman to expect Israel to participate in caring for these people who brought this bloody mess on themselves. Thank you. And that was Simply Tzfat. Yeah, Kamala Harris sees the Muslims in Gaza as the victims of the Israelis because she, like so many anti-Jews, are incapable of pity for the Jewish people. We are not victims deserving of pity in their eyes. It is our victims who deserve pity. This woman and those like her have expressed no sympathy for the thousands of Jews in the communities wrecked on October 7, whose homes and possessions no longer exist. People today who have no home and only the clothes on their backs. Scores of thousands of Jews in the north as well have been driven from their homes and have become internal homeless refugees. Where is her concern for them? Her concern for the welfare of over 100 human beings held captive? Where's that? Held captive by these sex maniacs, repeatedly raping the Jewish girls and women, beating up the males, raping them too. Although against Sharia law, homosexuality is nonetheless rampant in Arabi and Islam. So they're likely raping the males too. On Monday, UN Special Representative on Sexual Violence in Conflict presented a report to the UN, commissioned by none other than the UN General Secretary Guterres, on the sex crimes committed on October 7th, which presentation Guterres seems to have barely acknowledged. In reaction to his reaction, or lack of one, Israel's foreign minister, Israel Katz, ordered Israeli ambassador in the UN, Gilad Erdan, home for consultations. This is standard diplomatic language and behavior for anger. Katz accused Guterres of an attempt to silence the serious UN report on the mass rapes committed by Hamas and its accomplices. Quote, despite the authority granted to him, the UN Secretary General did not convene the Security Council to deal with these findings, which would lead the Council to judging Hamas to be a terrorist organization, which apparently the Council never has, and has never imposed sanctions on it and its supporters for being a terrorist organization. Katz said, quote, our daughters are not to be treated as worthless. Anyone who harms them will pay. As we speak, Israeli women are being raped and abused by Hamas terrorists. Where is the voice of the United Nations? We have heard the empty words of UN officials calling for the release of the hostages, but there has not been one single discussion focused on the sexual violence perpetrated by Hamas. Not a single UN panel on rape and crimes against Israeli women. Israel's Foreign Minister Katz said the Secretary General has brought the UN to its lowest point by ignoring the heinous crimes against humanity perpetrated against Jews and Israelis, while constantly maligning Israel and attacking its right to self-defense, close quote. Indeed. And the name for that behavior is something Israelis have a hard time dealing with. It's called anti-Semitism, the baseless and delusional hatred of Jews who are deserving of whatever abuse they get because Jews are not objects of pity. But I also suspect fear at play in a European like Guterres, fear of the Muslims who are taking over European countries. Say something in favor of the Jews and you mark yourself as a target for assassination, a word rooted in Muslim culture. If Guterres were not frightened of these Muslims, he might have been able to express sympathy for what these demons did on October 7th and continue to do to the surviving captors in their hands, their sadistic, anti-Semitic, antediluvian hands, these torturers, lacking all human empathy for others. And truth be told, post-religious Israelis with no personal experience of anti-Jew craziness take far too seriously the criticisms and complaints of the goyim, a word they themselves never in their lives use. They try to refute the accusations with facts and the truth to prove to the enemy we are not the bad people you think we are. When the accusations never arise from facts, they arise in the inner recesses of their unconscious. For example, here is IDF spokesman Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari last Thursday evening reporting on the day's riots and death in Gaza over the entrance of a convoy of supply trucks and the riot that ensued. He said, quote, "As these vital humanitarian supplies were making their way towards Gazans in need, thousands of Gazans came upon the trucks. Some began violently pushing and even trampling other Gazans to death, looting the humanitarian supplies." Close quote. He denied IDF responsibility for the overwhelming bulk of those who were killed in the stampede. The IDF, he said, quote, "was carrying out a humanitarian aid operation to secure the humanitarian corridor and allow the aid convoy to reach its distribution point so that the humanitarian aid could reach Gaza civilians in the north who are in need. Our war is against Hamas, not against the people of Gaza. This is why we are seeking ways to expand our humanitarian efforts. This is why we are conducting humanitarian operations like the one we conducted this morning," close quote. And there you have it, what good boys and girls we are. And I say humanitarian efforts on behalf of the enemy people who did what they did on October 7th is chronically wrongheaded behavior by Israelis in response to accusations of war crimes requiring Israel to care for those whose suffering is their fault. Here was the IDF spokesman joining world anti-Jewry in, quote, "recognizing the suffering of innocent people." And I say, no, they're not. Who is the IDF to judge the people of Gaza as innocent? This implies culpability on the part of the IDF for their suffering, and there is no culpability. It is nothing but ancient, ageless, timeless Jew hatred, which in every generation manifests as lies about Jews as evildoers, when these allegations are never true. We owe these people, these Gazans, nothing. Let their Muslim brethren and fellow Arabs take care of them. It is simply wrong for any Israeli to speak as he did. He sounded like a EU anti-Jew, like, for example, the president of the European Union, Ursula von der Leyen, explaining the other day why the EU is sending more aid to Gaza. Quote, "We stand by the Palestinian people in Gaza and elsewhere in the region. Innocent Palestinians should not have to pay the price for the crime of a terrorist group like Hamas. They face terrible conditions, putting their lives at risk because of a lack of access to sufficient food and other basic needs. That is why we are reinforcing our support for them this year by a further 68 million euros, close quote. Yeah, innocent Palestinians suffering. When was the last time you heard anyone of her position and power refer to the suffering of innocent Jews, innocent Israelis? The answer is never, because the Jews are always guilty. They are the guilty party. Ask any enlightened woke leftist why there is no peace between Israel and the Palestinians, and the answer is Israel is at fault for stealing Palestine in 1948 and again in 1967, and since then, continuing to oppress and humiliate the Palestinians, because Zionism is a form of racism. Thank you. And that was Mickey Rosenbaum. And you're listening to Deprogram Program on PhantomNation.com. Today, Israeli Foreign Ministry spokesman Lior Chayat-Chiat posted on X an attack on the European Commission for deciding on Friday to send 50 million euros to UNRWA, even before an investigation into its role on October 7th is complete. He said this decision legitimizes the involvement of UNRWA employees with Hamas, which tracks with Israeli Minister of Intelligence Gila Gamliel, who today said that UNRWA must be terminated once and for all, which is great, but then suggested that there are other international humanitarian and food organizations that can serve as alternatives to funnel aid to the Palestinians, close quote, to which I say, no good. I recently posted a piece on Front Page Magazine entitled, "The Palestinian Refugees Are Neither Palestinian Nor Refugees." What needs to be done is to transfer all of the UNRWA recipients out of Gaza. That is what Israel needs to call for and back it up by refusing to cooperate in their welfare needs. And one hopes Israel makes more than it has of a recent audio tape proving that UNRWA employees were participants in the satanic crimes of October 7, crimes against the chosen people. An Israeli intelligence report shared with the U.S. shows dozens of UNRWA employees participating in the evil crimes committed by Muslims against Jews on October 7. Israel has to attack the root of the sins and crimes of UNRWA, which is the double-barrel lie that the Muslims in Gaza are Palestinians and that they are refugees entitled to assistance. This is where Israel falls down and harms its own cause. Israel has to tell the world there's nothing Palestinian about these people, and they're not refugees. Their forebears in 1949 were refugees, but they're all gone now. It was the murderers of Arafat's PLO in the 70s who got the UN and or UNRWA to bestow the status of refugee on the offspring of the original refugees and their children and their children's children, etc. Israel needs not only to dismantle UNRWA, but remove its recipients and to substitute another welfare agency instead of UNRWA. This does nothing to remove the presence of so many Jew-hating Muslims who, after Hamas is demolished in another decade or so, they'll come up with a new organization fueled by the same Muslim hatred of Jews. This is why Israel has to claim possession and refuse to cooperate in sustaining this fake refugee population.
תודה רבה לך, תודה רבה לך, תודה רבה לך, תודה רבה לך. השם יתברך, השם יתברך, השם יתברך, השם יתברך. על כל החסדים, על כל החסדים, על כל החסדים, על כל החסדים שאתה עושה איתי. שאתה עושה איתי, שאתה עושה איתי, שאתה עושה איתי.
תודה רבה לך, תודה רבה לך, תודה רבה לך, תודה רבה לך. השם יתברך, השם יתברך, השם יתברך, השם יתברך. על כל החסדים, על כל החסדים, שאתה עושה איתי, שאתה עושה איתי, שאתה עושה איתי, שאתה עושה איתי.
רבה לך, תודה רבה לך, השם יתברך, השם יתברך, השם יתברך, השם יתברך, הכל החסדים, הכל החסדים, הכל החסדים, הכל החסדים, שאתה עושה איתי, שאתה עושה איתי, שאתה עושה איתי, שאתה עושה איתי,
תודה רבה לך.
And that was the remarkably talented Yosef Garduna with, I think, some of his kids and friends. Okay, that's it for this weekly freebie podcast. For those who want three podcasts a week, each costing a whopping $1.25 each, please subscribe at phantom-nation.com. And if you subscribe for a whole year, after that, the subscription becomes free. You might also want to check out what others have called the best book ever. On the Arab-Israeli wars, and a literary masterpiece to boot, The War Against Israel, called Phantom Nation, Inventing the Palestinians as the Obstacle to Peace. Until next week, I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa.